Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning. If you've never been here before, we want to welcome you to New Hope Independent Baptist Church. We're glad you're here. We hope you can find within us a friend, and not only a friend, but maybe a church friend, church family. We love you, and we're thankful that you're here. A couple of announcements that I didn't tell Brother Randy. He didn't miss them. I just didn't tell him. We're going to do on August 13th, if you want to write this down, August 13th, that's a Sunday, we're going to do a back-to-school bash for the community. We're going to go around, we're going to pass out some flyers. If you want to help me out with that the next couple Saturdays, myself and my boys and whoever else wants to come along, we're going to go around the community, pass out some flyers, and we're going to do a back-to-school bash for all the kids. We want all the kids in the community that want to come to church that Sunday. We're going to start it at 11 o'clock. We're going to do it during what will be the 11 o'clock hour. We'll start it out there. We'll have a big water slide out there and a big bouncy house for the kids to have fun on. We're going to cook some hot dogs, some hamburgers after church. So if you want to help out with that, we would gladly appreciate that. And we also want to take some donations of some pencils and notebooks and candy so we can give each kid that comes a little bag when they leave. But we want to do it during the church hour because we want to get them in the doors. We want them to hear the gospel while they're here. Take advantage of that and hopefully gain some families by that, some interest in somewhere. So, you know, there's plenty of people out there that don't have a church family. And we want the people to know that New Hope Independent Baptist Church wants to welcome them in. As they are, we'll leave it up to the Lord to convict them and change their heart. Amen? Amen. So if you want to help out with that, please do. Also, I have some interest in, you don't have to tell me now, but if you're interested in singing in a choir on Sunday mornings, and soon, my goal is to start Sunday night church. I'll just tell you this now, the 1st of September, the first Sunday night in September, I'd like to go back to Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., but we want to start getting a choir together and singing a choir special a couple times a month. So if you're interested in singing in a choir, come see me. And also next Sunday, we're going to start a junior church. During this hour, the kids will be able to be dismissed out to the fellowship hall and maybe some to the classes. But my wife is going to kind of head that up at first. But if you're interested in helping with that, we're going to need some volunteers to help out with that. It's a good opportunity for some of you teenagers. Now hear me out. I'm talking, you know, if you're doing right yourself and you're not just trying to skip church, but if you really want to learn how to invest in kids and get into the ministry, it's a good opportunity for you to learn how to get into your Bible, study a little bit, invest in some kids that need your help. But we're going to need some help. We won't put everybody out there every Sunday. We'll get a rotation going. But if you're interested in helping with junior church, please come see me sometime after church or over the next week on Wednesday night or next Sunday. So with that said, let's get started. Mark chapter number 6 this morning. Mark chapter number 6. Again, I am thankful everyone is here. We want to welcome each and every one of you. We are so glad to see you in church this morning. I believe you're not just honoring us, but ultimately you're honoring the Lord by being obedient and being in the house of God. You know, whether here, there, or wherever you go to church, I'm thankful to see you at New Hope Independent Baptist Church this morning. Mark chapter number 6. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, Lord, and shedding your blood for our sins. Lord, I ask you now to, Lord, bind the devil off this place. Lord, no doubt, Lord, someone in here is, Lord, the devil's after this morning. Lord, maybe the Lord hasn't gotten them yet. Lord, maybe they're, today will be the day of their salvation. I want to start by just binding the devil off this place, Lord. We don't want him anywhere around this property. We thank you, God, for the power you've given us through the blood of Jesus Christ to do that. Lord, Holy Spirit, we want you to come in and have your will and your way this morning, Lord. Allow these young men, young ladies, Lord, every lady, every man, every boy, every girl under the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, to hear you, not me, but to hear you and your word and to glean, Lord, and learn something from your word this morning. And Lord, if someone's here not saved, Lord, I pray today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, help us learn now. Lord, just meet with us. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self this morning, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Allow me to preach with clarity and truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. What are some things that we as a church this morning, as men, women, boys, and girls, and by the way, boys, girls, don't ever let the devil tell you that you're not important, okay? You have a big, important part in this thing, and right now it's to be obedient to your parents and to honor them and to love them. But how can we as a church help prepare the way of the Lord? Look at Mark chapter number 6 this morning in verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place," and what, church? Remember, I mentioned it in Sunday school. There is a time when Jesus tried to rest, and he's telling his disciples here, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and there had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with," here's our word, what is it, church? "Compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Sound familiar? And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. The 2 fishes divided he among them all." Isn't that a blessing in itself and a miracle that God could do that? 2 fish ain't feeding us in here. And there ain't no 5,000 men here. Hate to tell you that, but it ain't going to happen. I mean, I've seen some fish that could get pretty close to feeding this many people now. Where I come from, the halibut are pretty big. I've seen 400-pound fish come out of there with 200 pounds of fillets off of 1 fish. Now, that might feed this many people, but we're not talking about halibut here, okay? Small fishes. "And they did all eat," verse 42, "and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." So how can I help prepare the way of the Lord? Number one, I can have compassion for souls. You see, Jesus is in a place right here. How many knows what happened just prior to this story? Just raise your hand if you know what happened right prior to this story right here. There's a reason that Jesus told his disciples to go into a desert place. See, just prior to this, the disciples had just buried the corpse of their friend, John the Baptist. And as many of you know, Jesus and John the Baptist, they were related. They were buddies. They were friends. He loved John the Baptist. So no doubt, you know, even Jesus, you know, he did come into the flesh, right? And I'm not talking about the bad, the wicked flesh. I'm talking about he became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, no doubt, was saddened and burdened over the loss of his friend, John the Baptist. These disciples were burdened that they just took the corpse of John the Baptist, literally just the corpse, because the head was gone. It was delivered to someone else who wanted it, right? They took the corpse of their friend and they buried him. And they said, "Jesus, you know, this is sad. This is horrible." And Jesus said, "Let's depart into a desert place and just rest a little while." I'm sure many of you can relate. If you've ever lost a loved one or been through a really hard time, a really hard trial, and you finally come out of that trial and you know the end is, the trial's over, but you just want to stop and think and rest just a little while before you move on to the next one that's coming, right? Well, here's Jesus trying to do this, and meanwhile, there's a multitude of people out there starving. The Bible says they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him. And listen, this is how desperate they were for Jesus. It says they ran afoot thither out of all the cities. Hey, church, I wonder when the last time you even desired Jesus was. You know, here we have multitudes of people saying, "Wait, Jesus, we're not ready for you to leave yet. You've been doing great things here." Hey, listen, wouldn't it be good if Red Level, if New Hope Independent Baptist Church got a hold of Jesus and he just started doing good things? And then all of a sudden, when we saw him departing, we said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 come back. We want more of what you have to give." Listen, church, what I'm trying to say is these people got Jesus' attention. Jesus was resting. He was trying to rest. He was trying to depart. He was trying to grieve. But he was moved with compassion over the souls that sought him. And just like today, Anybody that comes in this door, you know that Jesus will move with compassion and convict that soul into salvation. You know that it's our job as a church to show Jesus to the lost and dying world. That's how you can help prepare the way of the Lord. I can have compassion. Number one, when I'm going through my trials, we see Jesus was in a trial. Here in this story, Jesus and his disciples had just buried the corpse of their friend and loved one, John the Baptist. In life, listen, church, in life we are going to have trials. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have pain. There's going to be tears. There's going to be suffering. But it does not change the fact that we still have a great commission. The great commission doesn't come to an end until Jesus comes back. It is still our job to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Sons and daughters, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's our job to go and seek lost men and women. It's not our job to save them. Understand that. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. It's our job to just by faith. Let me tell you, the most effective thing you could ever do is go tell someone what Jesus did for you. If you have a testimony, and by the way, if you're saved, you have a testimony. Listen to me. If you just, by faith, go and tell, I don't know what to say, tell them what Jesus did for you. And live out what you are preaching. Because you know how the saying goes, your actions speak louder than your what? Your words. People are watching you. Moms, dads, your kids are watching you. Kids, other kids at school are watching you. You ought to live what you preach. But no doubt there's going to be heartaches, there's going to be pain, there's going to be tears, there's going to be suffering, but we serve a God who's not only greater than all of these, but by the way, he's in control of it all and sees the beginning from the end. We can cast all of those cares upon our Savior. Why? Because he cares for us. So we can have compassion like Jesus did in our trials. Number two, I can have compassion when I'm tired and restless. Now this is one of my favorite ones to preach on. How many has ever been tired in here? Mamas, daddies, raise your hands. Everybody's been tired before. How many like to be bothered when you're tired? You ever make the statement to your kids? You say, look, I'm going to go sit in my chair. I'm going to go lay down for just a few minutes. I'm going to try to take a 30-minute nap. And I kid you not, I think they can bother you 40 times in 30 minutes that you're just trying to, just give me 30 minutes. Dad, or like, Dad. It's like, didn't I just tell you I'm tired? I'm restless. Hey, you know, Jesus was tired. The Bible says he commanded his disciples to go rest a while. He was tired. His disciples were tired. But did that stop the people from bothering him? And did Jesus resent those people when they bothered him, when he was tired and when he was restless? So who are we to resent people when we're tired and restless? You know, we got to have compassion when we're tired and restless. No matter how tired and worn out I am, I'm to have the character and behavior as a child of God. You say, well, what character is that? Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. I love the book of Ephesians. I can't wait to get over there and go through it one of these years. Ephesians chapter number 4. You say, what is this character you're talking about? Well, let's look at verse number 17. The Bible says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord. Now look. This is the behavior of believers. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. So let me ask you, church. Was your mission last week, your work last week, was it to honor God or was it to honor you? Was it to honor God or did what you did last week for the Lord outweigh what you did for the devil? You say, I don't do anything for the devil. Let me tell you something. If what you're doing is not for God, it's for the devil. It's one or the other. Understand, you can't have two masters. A double-minded man, he's unstable in all his ways. Everything I do must be in honor and reverence to the Lord. I'm talking about when I tell my wife I love her. Why? Because God gave her to me. I don't deserve her, but I love you, and I'm going to try to love you as Christ loved the church. You know, when I try to be the best dad I can, why? So that I can gain the best dad award? No, because God told me that I should be a good dad, and I should be a godly dad, and it honors him when I do so. When I study my Bible, why? Because I just got my 1, 2, 3. I read my chapters for the week. You know, good job. Is that what we're looking for? No, so I can get closer to my Father. That is what it's all about. It's about giving respect and reverence to God, not in greediness for your own self-gain. Look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, here it is, church, put off concerning the former conversation of what? The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And remember, your mind is part of your soul. Your soul is a three-part: your mind, your emotion, and your will. So you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, but, and the Bible says, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what that means? Don't go to sleep angry. You ever tried sleeping angry before? You toss and you turn, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and you wonder, are they still mad at me after what I did? After going off the hook and saying things I shouldn't have said. I'm too prideful to say I'm sorry. So I'm going to just sleep on it and hope that she'll forgive me in the morning. Can I tell you something? Men, let me tell you a secret. Your wives are in here with us. Mine's right there. They got a lot longer memory than you do. Everybody okay with that? I'm glad you laughed. It's a fact. People can say stuff to me and I'm like, well, I'm mad right now, but really, I'll get over it. I'd rather just, whatever. You know, but they're not wired like that. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just being real with you. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. If you did something wrong, hey, say I'm sorry. That's your wife. What if you woke up in the morning and her chest wasn't going up and down? And you didn't get that opportunity to say I'm sorry. See, we don't think about that. Likewise, ladies, what if you woke up in the morning and your routine was going on and you didn't hear your husband in there making coffee and you didn't hear him stirring around the house and he was just gone, just like that? It's very important. This plan that God has works. It's a good thing. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then it says, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I wonder how many of us would say this week, not a single thing that came out of my mouth dishonored God. I didn't take part in any conversation that would not honor God this week. Everything that came out of my mouth was good, it was pure, it was holy, it was just, it was righteous, it honored my Savior. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, why? To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I wonder this morning, how could you have compassion if you have bitterness in your heart? How could you have compassion if you're full of wrath, if you're full of anger? You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about, no doubt, in a crowd like this, I dare say in a crowd of just two or three, you could probably find somebody in here right now who's angry and bitter about something that happened years and years and years ago that you can never do anything about except forgive. Let me tell you a secret. Hurt people, they hurt people. You know, I think about in my own life and, you know, things that I didn't think was fair growing up, not having my mom and dad there all the time. And I didn't think that was very fair. I didn't think I deserved to have to not have my mom and dad around. I mean, all my friends had their mom and dad. Why didn't I have mine? Hey, listen. You know what I had to do later in life? I had to do the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. I had to call my mom and I had to call my dad. And then to say, I understand the circumstances. I understand that there were things and decisions and choices that you made that you can't do anything about. But let me tell you something. I love you, and I forgive you. And hey, it goes deeper than that. There are many of you that have hurts in here that you probably never told anybody about. Many of you got secrets that your own wives and husbands might not know. Secrets that your family don't know. But can I say something? God knows your secret. And let me tell you something. You choosing not to forgive the person that hurt you is like taking a glass of poison, drinking it, and hoping that it's going to hurt them. Bitterness is a killer. Anger is a killer. Wrath is a killer. I'd love to get more in-depth to this, but I don't want to get sidetracked. But listen, if that's you this morning living in bitterness and anger and wrath, can I say that it's never too late to forgive? The time to forgive is right now. Some of you are thinking about it right now, exactly who you need to forgive and what you need to forgive. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. You say, well, that person don't deserve my forgiveness. If you're saved in here this morning, you didn't deserve the forgiveness you got either. But God, who is rich in mercy, loved you enough to say, you know, I'm going to commend my love towards you in that while we were yet, what, church? That person that hurt you is just a sinner. Are you going to let that bitterness and that wrath affect you the rest of your life? Are you going to take that secret to the grave? Are you going to let that bitterness turn into forgiveness? Can I tell you something? Forgiveness is the key to joy. It's the key that unlocks the joy box. It's the key that allows you to wake up and smile in the mornings again. It's the key that doesn't allow you to do this all day. Oh, I hope no one figures out what my problem is. I would forgive you, but you don't really deserve it. You're walking around miserable, and you're a Christian. You're going to die and go to heaven miserable. You're never going to make an impact for the cause of Christ like that. Church, just forgive. We can have compassion when we're tired and restless. We can have compassion when we're going through trials. Number three, I can have compassion even when I'm hungry. Now, this is one of my favorite ones. We're all Baptists in here, right? How many of y'all like to eat? Everybody better raise their hands right here, okay? Because I can show you. I got a camera. I can take a picture and show y'all. Y'all love to eat, okay? I have to use the wide lens when I take pictures of myself now. Helps me look a little bit smaller. But listen, everybody likes to eat. And how many's been hungry in here before? I'm not talking about starving to death. I'm talking about hungry where you're just like, I really need to eat. Or I'm fixing to get what I like to call hangry. Y'all ever been hangry before? Hungry and angry together. Well, you know, I get like that about 1 or 2 o'clock if I haven't had anything to eat. And, you know, on top of being in a trial, Jesus, they were tired, they were hungry, and Jesus still chose to have compassion. How did he do that? Jesus met the needs of the crowd before he met his own. Isn't that amazing? Those disciples were hungry, and Jesus said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you a lesson here. Go get me those 2 fish, get me those 5 loaves, and I'm going to bless them. And then you're going to pass them out to everybody else first. Now imagine Jesus doing you like that. It's kind of like going to Subway and you can smell the sandwich. I love the smell of Subway. Anybody else like Subway in here? It smells so good. And when you're there, you're like, finally, I'm here. And you walk in and there's 15 people in line and one person working. It's like that. All these other people are going to get served before you. But Jesus said, look, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to teach you how to have compassion even when you're hungry. You're going to let me bless the food, and I'm going to multiply it. I'll do the miracle, but you're going to do the passing out. And I could just imagine those disciples, if they're like me, they'd have been like, really, I got to feed you first, you first, you first, and then watch all them eat. Oh, but at the end of the story, it gets good, doesn't it? Jesus met the needs of the crowd before he met his own. We have a hard time as individuals getting the big I out of the way, don't we? It's hard sometimes to just say, you know what? I'm going to put my needs aside and go help somebody else. But can I tell you something, church? It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know that? That's biblical. As nice as it is to receive gifts, I can honestly say I've never received a gift that's given me more joy than giving a gift. As much as I'm thankful for everything that people have done for me over the years, from this church to churches in the past to my family, but I'll tell you what, I love Christmas morning when I watch my children open their gifts for Christmas. It does my heart good, and it excites me. You know, you think about, there's not much excitement about receiving a gift, because most of the time it's just like, here's your gift, thank you, and it's over, right? But man, when you buy that gift, you know, like when you buy that special thing for your wife and you're waiting all these months to surprise her for it, and all you're thinking is, how am I going to keep this a secret? And then finally you tell one of the kids and you're like, I'm going to kill you if you tell your mom. Please don't tell your mom. And then you're like, man, I got to tell somebody else. And you tell another kid. And pretty soon it gets to the point where it's like, okay, I got to give this gift early. That's how I'm a spoiler. I cannot keep a secret like that. I hate it. So, I mean, ask my wife if you don't believe me. But I love anticipating the excitement on her face. Anybody else like that? That's a good thing, to do good for others. Maybe if we could get the focus off of us, we could see the world and have compassion as Jesus saw them. You know how he saw them? As sheep with no shepherd. Anybody ever spent time around sheep before? I haven't, but I've heard a couple of really good stories from some men who have, and they are pretty dumb animals. This guy's shaking his head back here. Yeah, they are. Look, they're just not smart. They're just very, very dumb. I mean, I don't want to get up here and get into it, but I don't even know what all it takes. But I'm thankful that, I'm not the shepherd of a physical sheep. But look, you know, God has given each and every one of us the job of protecting each other and being accountable for each other. And not only us, but look, that world out there, your community, we are responsible for them. Those lost and dying children out there at Red Level School, at Strawn, at Pleasant Home, at wherever, you know what they are? They're sheep with no shepherd. And they're walking about. And guess who else is walking about? That devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And guess what? He would love to have your kids. Mom, Dad, he would love to have your nieces and nephews. Grandma's, Grandpa, he would love to have your grandkids. Let me ask you this. What are you doing to prevent it? What am I doing as a dad to make sure the devil don't get my kids? But what am I doing as a pastor to make a difference in my community? And what are we doing as a church to make a difference in our community in a lost and dying world? Lastly, I can have compassion even to those who are constantly trying to interfere with the Lord's work. You know, Jesus said, let's feed them. And those that are, here's the scary part about those that are trying to interfere. It's usually those that are right close to you. His own disciples said, how do you expect we're going to feed this many people? Are you serious? Could you imagine asking Jesus that question? Jesus must have been very, very patient. Because, I mean, if one of my kids looked at me and said, are you kidding? No, I wasn't kidding. That's a nice way of putting that. But sometimes those that are close to you are going to try to interfere with the work of the Lord. And you know what you got to do? You got to keep pressing on. You got to look past the ignorance and the hurt of the people that are around you, because people are hurt and people are just downright ignorant sometimes. People that we love, they don't use their brains sometimes. They're not thinking like they should be thinking. They're not thinking from a God standpoint. They're thinking from a flesh standpoint. What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? No. What can you give out of this? Let the Lord bless you. You figure out what you can give. These disciples were looking not only for themselves in their time of trial, in their time of being tired, in their time of being hungry. Jesus taught them a valuable lesson. At the end of the lesson, Jesus made sure he still blessed his disciples. Look at the end of this and we're done. Where my wife's going to come. She's going to play a song of invitation here. Look at the end. At the end of this, after the disciples had learned the lesson that they can indeed go through a trial and still trust the Lord, they can still have compassion. Look what he did. Verse 41, let's go there. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were what, church? Filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. Church, how many disciples did he have? Isn't that amazing that at the end of all this, Jesus took care of them? And what I'm trying to get across to you is, as my wife comes to play, listen, what I'm trying to get across to you is, there's going to come times in life that are going to be rough. You're going to be tired. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be going through a trial. And you're just not really going to want to trust the Lord. But let me tell you something. It might seem like in that situation that God is telling you, hey, take care of this person first. Take care of that need first. Take care of this need first. Take care of that need first. As she starts to play, listen, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is Jesus is always going to take care of you. You're not going to find the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. This morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. As she starts to play, I wonder this morning if maybe you can relate. I can't help but think about that bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. I wonder this morning, church, if there's someone here. No one looking around. Listen, this altar's open. I wonder if there's someone in here that would say, Brother Drew, you know, you hit that nail on the head this morning as you were preaching, the Holy Spirit was convicting me. There's someone in my life that I need to forgive. I would love to be more effective for Jesus. I would love to be more effective for the cause of Christ. But I got some bitterness in my life. Listen, you don't have to tell me about it, but look, this altar's open. You can come up here right now and you can get that right with the Lord and you can get right with those individuals. There's someone here like that, just say, Brother Drew, can you pray for me? I sure would love to have your prayers to help me with that problem. Anyone? Hey, listen, this altar's open this morning. How about this? I wonder if there's someone here today that could say, Brother Drew, you talked about knowing the Lord. I just got to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died right now that I would go to heaven. Is there someone in here like that? You just don't know. If you were to breathe your last breath today, I just don't know if I would die and go to heaven. Is there anyone in here like that? Just lift your hand. I won't call you out, I promise. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? I see those hands over there. Hey, listen, how about this? I wonder if there's someone here that would say, Brother Drew, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I know if I died, heaven would be my home. Would you just lift your hand up and just admit that? That's good. Listen to me now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please, no one looking around. I saw your hands go up. I think I saw a young man over there and a couple young men over here. If we could get a couple of men with their Bibles that know how to lead someone to the Lord in the back of the church, that'd be good. Someone just stand up and go back there. Kyler, get your Bible and go back there, bud. Colton, grab your Bible. Listen, I don't want to call you out, but listen, if you raise your hand and you don't know the Lord, there's some young men in the back right now that would love to meet with you and show you in the Bible how you can know that when you walk out of this place today, that heaven can be your home. If that's you, what I want you to do is just stand up out of your seat, turn around and walk to the back. They'll take you to a private place. They'll take you somewhere. We won't embarrass you, we promise. If that was you, if you raise your hand, why don't you just stand up right now and just go back there and let them talk to you. Anybody? All right, well, I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross, Lord. Thank you for these individuals who have admitted, Lord, they don't know you. Now, Lord, I pray, God, as the seed has been planted, Lord, unto salvation, that they'll understand and they'll take serious, Lord, that hell's a very real place. And it was not created for them. Lord, I ask you now to just convict their hearts even more, Lord. Let this not be their last opportunity. Help them, Lord, to understand the importance of their need for salvation. Thank you again, Lord, for the ones who have came out today. Thank you for the good crowd. Lord, thank you for the weather outside. It's not raining anymore. Lord, I ask you now to just bless each and every man, woman, boy, and girl who made their way to your house this morning. Lord, give them an extra blessing this week. Lord, get them all home safe this Sunday afternoon. Let them enjoy their families today. Lord, thank you for families in church together. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, church. Thank you for coming again today. Please come back and visit us on Wednesday night. We'll be here at 6:30 next Sunday morning. Sunday school, 10 o'clock. Worship service, 11. You are dismissed.